Our first reading is found in the book of the prophet Jeremiah. It's found on page 840 in your pew Bibles. And we read Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning at verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall each one teach his neighbor, and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is found in Paul's letter to the Romans. It's on page 1205. We read Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, found on page 1145. And we read John 8, beginning at verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. They answered him, We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your epistle lesson for today. And in particular, these words, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This is our text. Question. So how many of you have used the word justification outside of church in the past week? That didn't get much of a response. It's a big word, and we don't talk about it very much. But while we don't talk about it much, we're doing it all the time. For example, on the way over to my son's house, who lives in Marion, there is, if you will, a fork in the road. My wife likes to turn left. I turn right. It's pretty close to six of one, half dozen of the other. I think it's 6.5 one and 5.5 the other myself. And so when I turn right, she always goes, "Why do you go that way?" But to be fair to my wife, when we go to Menards, we usually take her car. It's bigger. And you know, at Menards, sometimes you buy big stuff. And she drives. And there's a fork in the road. And I say, "Why do you go this way?" She says, "I don't like to go that way." And she goes, "This way." We've been doing this for years. If you will, every time we take those routes, we have to justify ourselves. How many of you have had to, in the last week, answer the question, "Why did you do that?" You see, we maybe don't use the word justification much, but it's always going on in our lives. From the day we learn to talk, and maybe even a little earlier, to the day we die, we're constantly trying to justify ourselves. And so is it any wonder that when you look at the religions of the world, when it comes to our understanding of God, we think that that's the way it works as well. The problem is that if we are to live with God eternally in his perfect heaven, where there is no more sin and no more death, constant joy and constant love, and that's what we want heaven to be, or it won't be heaven. If getting there depends upon us justifying ourselves before God, it's not going to happen. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Some say that Martin Luther had fits of depression throughout his life. But I think if you asked Luther, he had a right to feel that way. It may be that he just understood his sinfulness more than the average bear. It is said that during his years in the monastery, he would wear out his confessors, believing that, as it was taught and is still taught in some church bodies, that every sin not confessed you would ultimately have to pay for later. Even after he sort of rediscovered grace, as the leader of the Reformation, which brought about wars, pestilence, and famine, and the death of hundreds of thousands in the period that ensued. If you will, at times I'm sure he felt like he had the weight of the world upon him. And mistakes were costly. And our old human nature and the devil and the world would arise with that accusing finger. And it's oh so easy for us to revert to what we learned as a child and what we practice day after day after day when accusations arise. We try to justify ourselves. And as we know ourselves, it often doesn't work. But one day, studying the scriptures, Luther rediscovered something that is not taught by natural knowledge, which is not found in any religion outside of Christianity. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift to the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. As Luther continued to face the pressures of the world, one of the things he wrote on his desk, the stories vary as to how he did it, but somewhere on his desk, as he would study and meditate and pray and write, were these simple words. Remember, you were baptized. Though we can't justify ourselves, God took over that task for us. I like particularly the words that are a few lines down in our epistle lesson for today. When it comes to the question, why did God do this? The answer lies here. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier, the one who has faith in Jesus. God is a just God. And if he says there's a penalty for doing something wrong, as a just God, he's got to enforce it. Man sinned. And God told man, if you sin, you will die. God can't be just and go back on his word. But God has more than one quality about him. He's not just, he's merciful, he's loving, he's compassionate. What does he do? When he loves man, but he can't forsake his justice. God goes to his son, his beloved, and he says, I need you to become man so that everything I hate about man I can punish in you. The death that man deserves I will visit upon you. The abandonment by God that man deserves I will visit upon you. The pain, the suffering, the loneliness, the despair. All these things that man deserves, I will visit upon you because you will become a man. But because you're also God, you can take it. And you can rise again. And the life that man has lost, you can give back to him. So God maintains his justice, but because Jesus was also God, God is also able to be merciful. Or as St. Paul phrased it in our epistle lesson for today, one of the key Bible passages in Luther's rediscovery of the gospel. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. We have a unique faith as taught in the scriptures, a faith that goes against all reason of man, who from pretty much the day he's born until the day he dies is in a constant battle with the world, the devil, and his own flesh, trying to justify himself. What Luther discovered in the scriptures, what he taught in his later years, and while we celebrate this Reformation Day, is that justification is not a work we can do. Try as we might, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We deserve nothing but death and damnation. But thanks be to God, who gives us, note the word gift, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who justifies us by grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.